comes every day. It's a constant. So long as we are alive, the day we don't wake up is the day we die. So I have this idea, right? It's in my head. A story. I sit down most days to get these words out on paper, or on the computer screen. The cursor flashing like it's mocking me. It's saying, I'm here, constantly. My resistance, my hurdle. I'm choking. I can't put a single letter down. I'll do anything to avoid my fingers pressing those keys, my pen flowing on paper. I can't do it. Mr. Resistance holds my hands to the table. He ties them to the concept of time as it passes. Time passes to no avail. Words have not come. I've gained nothing, but lost a lot. This is me, every day. Time passes. He doesn't wait for my fingers to type. I can't hold on to him. He leaves me in my quiet solitude, fearful. Fearful of failure. In this fear, I fall victim to the thing I'm afraid of. Thought that time would pass without me making something of myself. I know he'll no longer wait for me, so I must join him. Must find a way. Having forward momentum is better than standing still. If you go confidently into the world, you'll make your path. But to stay motionless will make your life stagnate without a glimpse of your vision. The power of moving is incredible. A boxer can be the most skilled in the world, but if he stands still for just a second or two, he can be dismantled in that very instance. It's not what you write, it's the act of writing that is required. This is the same for any pursuit. We can get so wrapped up in the details. How fast your race time is going to be, how much money you're going to make on this deal, what the coach is going to say, what are you going to write? We get so wrapped up in these details, we never get started in the first place. This is fear of success. This is fear of not knowing. And this is called faith. Go where there is no path, and it'll leave a trail. We can procrastinate all day about the thing we want to do, but it's the act of doing that a vision becomes a reality. There are many select words that can be chosen to explain defeating this situation. But in the words of my favorite quote, just do it. Don't stop, keep moving. Push forward, don't stop. Push on. Stop dreaming, start doing. I am moving. I will not stop. I will not stand still.
Did you ever have, let's call it a normal job, Connor, a 9-to-5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the Irish thing is to get into a trade straight away. I was no different. As soon as I finished school, I was always getting pestered. What are you doing with your life? Are you doing this, doing that? They didn't know what it was. They didn't know if MMA was. They didn't know none of this. They didn't know I could make a career out of it. As far as they were concerned, my man and dad I'm talking about, as far as they were concerned, I was just getting into a cage and fighting with some other guy. They didn't know nothing about it. No one did, really. But I knew, you know what I mean? I knew. But I ended up getting a trade just to keep them quiet. Because I used to have a lot of fights with my dad.
Trade did you get?
I ended up getting a trade as a plumber. Literally up in the back arse of nowhere, up in the Wicklow Mountains. And funny enough, that site was one of the biggest sites in Europe, Kiltearnan. It was right at that skiing place. Huge. And now it's just abandoned. Now it's just deserted. So I used to go up there 5 o'clock in the morning, I was on that M50. I used to have to walk to the N4. About half an hour from my house, wait for some Limerick guy that I didn't even know. He'd drive on the M4 and I'd have to flag him down. Nightmare, yeah. 2 hours down on the M50, 2 hours back. Literally 14-hour days, and I was the first year, so I had to go and do everything. I had to go to the shop. I had to go and get this and get that. So I always had trouble with that, and I was like, this isn't for me. this is not for me.
How long did you last?
I lasted 18 months, Tony. But it was tough, you know what I mean? It wasn't the life for me, you know what I mean? And then John said, because I was training with John as well at the time, and then John got on touch and says, I have a show, I'm running a show, I'd like to fight on it. And then that was it. I just packed it in, didn't show up. My dad used to come in and punch the head off me and like try and drag me out of bed. And I just wouldn't go, you know what I mean? I had uproar for a good few years when I'm over it, but, and that was it. I just packed it in, quit, and then focused on training. And that's, I knew what was going to happen. I knew I was going to get here. They didn't. It was a lot of stressful years, you know what I mean? A lot of tough times. But I proved them wrong. I proved myself right.
I was working in the plumbing business at the time, yeah, but I'm trying to think. It would have been around that time that John Nassi, I'd left the plumbing business.
How bad was that?
The plumbing?
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Were you actually in the trenches?
I mean, it was an industrial.
Ooh.
So it'd be like building this. It'd be like the plumbing that would be needed in a place like this. 6 o'clock in the morning and the motorway. And I used to have to walk for about an hour to get to the motorway. And then I'd stand on the edge of the motorway and wait for a bloke to drive by. So he'd give me a lift. And then the motorway was like getting renovation at the time. So it'd take me two and a half hours to get to the place. It was out in the country. Then I'd be there for 10 hours walking. And I was a first year, so I was the worst of the worst. You know, wow. It was only beginning. Then 2 hours to get back in the traffic again. It was just a horrible, horrible time. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this. And then I just left. And then I just stopped going. Didn't get out of bed. Then my dad would come in and try and bait me out of bed. And we'd have fights. And literally, for a good while, I didn't really speak to my dad. We just kind of stayed away from each other. Anytime I'd come across my dad, anytime we did speak was to fight.
You lived in his house?
Yeah, I was only 18.
But you didn't talk to him? Isn't that kind of awkward?
Yeah, well, not like it wasn't, whatever, you know.
You didn't have a deep relationship?
Yeah, but since this has happened,
right.
Since the dream has happened, since the vision that I had has come true, and like he went through a tough time as well because he got testicular cancer.
Oh.
So he got sick and all over it. In my head, I was thinking maybe I done that because he's worried about me and doesn't know what I'm going to do and all these fights that we're having all the time. And like, I'm talking full-on fights. You come in and punch it. We're going at it. Yeah, we're going at
and
it.
You're punching back.
But yeah, we're going at it, yeah.
Wow. What does your mom say about that? Who's so protective of you?
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't know. She just stayed out, you know, but...
why did it get to that point, to where he was that mad?
Because I was doing absolutely nothing.
Was
I was out getting into
you.
Trouble. Yeah, basically felt like I was doing fuck all. I was a waster. You know what I mean? I was a waster. Got that called that a lot. You know what I mean? But but now, like, and then when I start getting that focus and realize, no, fuck, I'm gonna make this happen. And then now that has happened, I'm making it happen. I have a great relationship with my dad. Like, we talk all the time, and I even see energy in him, and I see energy in me, man. Like, it's depressing times for a lot of people, and there's a lot of bad stuff going on in the country. A lot of people are struggling. Everybody's struggling. But now, since them seeing me chase this dream, it's given them an energy, and I see a new lease of life in them. And that alone spurs me on even more. So it's all just a perfect storm that's happening for me. And that is why I have this tunnel vision, and that is why I'm willing to kill every single man in my path to get that belt, you know what I mean? To secure the future, from my family's future, you know what I mean? That's what I'm doing it for.
It's inescapable that our role, while we're at work, we are workers. When we're at home, we're consumers. We're designated roles that prevent us from having an authentic interaction with reality, an authentic experience of ourselves.
You work in order to make money to play. This is insane, because you spend most of the time working. If you don't really value the work, I mean, you're lucky if you've got work that you really enjoy doing, but if you don't really value the work, all you get out of it is money. Then you come home with that and you're supposed to play. They sit and passively watch television. But we don't enjoy it. Not really. There's no gusto for it. It's somewhat contradictory. Happiness consists in the possession of things. A lot of people, when they feel inadequate, bored, unfulfilled, try to get rid of this sensation by going shopping. A lot of people spend all their day time shopping. Yes, the real world now is always unseizable. It's changing. You can't grasp it. There's nothing to hold on to. But that's why it's spiritual. When you lean on it, it collapses. But don't lean on it. Live in it, but don't lean on it. Don't try to hold it. Because in just the same way as when you embrace someone and you try to hold too hard, you squeeze the breath out. And therefore you strangle. So in the same way, you don't grab hold of the world. You can't sense it that way. I cannot feel whatever this is. That the physical world, right here and now, this absolutely concrete moment, is everything that you could ever have imagined the beatific vision to be. This is quite startling, but it's so. If you are really wide awake. It's a kind of a light touch. You let it flow through your fingers. And so by letting life slip, and it's always slipping, it's now ever changing. It's the more it runs, the more it stays. The more it stays, the more it runs. That's the way it is. And if you don't hold on to it, it's always here. If you do hold on to it, it's always running away.
She said to me once, I wish you would just kill yourself. You're such a burden to me. I think I was 9 when my mom drove me down to the deepest part of Baja California. And she walks me up to an orphanage and she knocks on the door and the guy comes to the door and she says, I found this kid. And she left me there. For 90 days, until my grandmother could get out of her where she had dumped me, and my grandmother came and rescued me. My mom beat me every single day of my elementary school years with things you could imagine and a lot of things you couldn't. Every day my back was bloodied and scarred. I had to wear 3 t-shirts to school each day. First t-shirt because the blood would seep through. And second t-shirt, you could still see it. Finally, the 3rd t-shirt, you couldn't see any blood. Kids at school, they'd make fun of me. Hey, fool, it's 100 degrees. Why are you wearing 3 t-shirts? And then he stopped speaking, so overwhelmed with emotion. And he seemed to be staring at a piece of his story that only he could see. When he could regain his speech, he said through his tears, I wore 3 t-shirts well into my adult years. Because I was ashamed of my wounds. I didn't want anybody to see them. But now I welcome my wounds. I run my fingers over my scars. My wounds are my friends. After all, how can I help heal the wounded? If I don't welcome my own wounds. The measure of our compassion lies not in our service of those on the margins, but only in our willingness to see ourselves in kinship.
But I remember we were playing against the Lakers, Tom, and we were out here in LA. And, you know, look, I always try to outwork people, right? That's just how I made my mark. So the game was at 7. I was like, you know what? I'm going to come to the Staples Center because we're playing. This is when the Lakers had Kobe and Shaq.
Right.
Okay. This is like the championship Lakers. I was like, no, I'm gonna get there at 3 o'clock and I wanna make sure I make 400 made shots before I go back into the room and then I sit in the sauna and I get ready for the game. So, you know, get in the car, get to the gym, get there, and as I'm walking onto the court, who do I see? I see Kobe Bryant, already working out. So I put my sneakers on, and so once I set my foot across that line, I started working out. And so I worked out for a good hour, hour and a half. And when I came off, after I was done, I sat down, and of course, I still heard the ball bouncing. He was working out, for like, it looks like he was in a dead sweat when I got here. Right. And he's still going. And it's not like his moves are nonchalant or lazy. He's doing like game moves. Right. Get in the sauna, get ready for the game. That game, he drops 40 on us, okay? And after the game is over, I'm like, I have to ask this guy. Like, I have to understand like why he works like that.
Right.
So after the game is over, I'm like, hey, Kobe, like, why were you in the gym for so long? He's like, because I saw you come in. That it doesn't matter how hard you work, that I'm willing to work harder than you.
Right.
And it was the first time I started to see this level of competitiveness where I said, I need to start doing more.
Just fed up. I was fed up working for somebody else. I was fed up taking the scraps that somebody that didn't even know me is giving me. I'm working for you, putting in five days a week, 8 hours a day. You tell me when I'm gonna eat my lunch. You tell me when I can take a break. It was heavy labor too. Like I had to, I was in this area in the building warehouse work where every kind of package that I had to deal with was 35 pounds and up. So you dealing with like 70 pounds, 100 pounds every day, back to back to back to back to back to back to back, and you finna tell me I can eat for 15 minutes. That just didn't sit well with me, and I knew I had too much to offer to the world, so I left. I was working to get enough money to be broke. You know what I'm saying? After I pay that cell phone bill, after I pay my rent, pay insurance and all that, I had enough money to eat. I had no money to really pay for studio time or to pay for sometimes struggling for gas. Like that last day, I'm waiting on that Friday check, not knowing if I'm gonna make it to work and shit. I'm working to be broke. You at work playing time games like, oh, I'm not gonna check my phone for 5 minutes. And shit, I'm like, the fuck am I doing? Like, what am I doing with my life right now? I cannot be living like this. And to the person that's trying to live up to the expectation, you don't gotta do nothing. You don't gotta prove shit to nobody but yourself. If your mom wants you to be a doctor, like your mom had, she had her shot to be a doctor. Actually, if she ain't dead, she could still be a doctor. I only gotta prove something to myself. I knew what I had to do. The universe cannot say no to a man that's determined. And I truly believe that in my soul. Like, it's determined. When you're determined, the universe has this way of kind of moving itself out your way and giving you whatever you ask for. I would work 8 hours a day. I work from 9 to 5. Sit in traffic for an hour. My car got no fucking AC in it. One, so we're talking Texas heat. The whole summer, no AC. It's 100, 105. So in the car, you got a car that's been sitting in the heat for 8 hours. So feel like 110 when you in there. Now go in the studio, 8 hours. Go home, 3, 4 in the morning. Go back to work, do it again. And it was cool, but it was like, if I had 16 hours of my day that I could focus on this, how much better would I get? Like, how much determined would I be? Like, because everybody wants the bright lights, but nobody prepares for them. I could die right now. Something could happen. This building could fall in on this interview right now. We just gone, just dead for no reason. So why would I spend a second of my life doing something that I don't want to do? So whether that makes me a rapper while I'm living in the Hamptons or living under a bridge, I'm gonna live with the consequences.
I ain't trying to say I wish shit unless I'm looking at a birthday cake.
O'clock in the morning, I wake up, 4:30, 4:45, I'm doing some sort of cardio. Open these garage doors, it's still dark outside. I do this and then I'll have breakfast and then I will go do all my strength and conditioning training at a gym for about an hour. And then I'll go to set. We all average probably about 5 hours of sleep.
It's 4:45 a.m., it's still dark outside. Look at that, the lights just went out, and I'm getting ready to kill this AM cardio. You can't even see me, but it's gonna be so good, it's bad. Focus!
If you do anything, you never wanna do anything half-assed, especially when it comes to your training. Get in, be intense, execute on it, and then get out. For a lot of guys out there, and I was certainly one of those guys, in my 20s, I thought I had all the answers. I didn't know shit, by the way. In my 30s, I'm still trying to find myself, as a lot of guys are out there. Hopefully, when you hit your 40s, you're hitting a nice stride. If I'm gonna do it, I need to do this job right. I need to stay focused on it. I need to give the best effort I possibly can.
We live down here in South Florida. It's hurricane season.
Focus!
But when it's time to go to the gym, we gotta get to the gym. And there ain't no stopping us.
It's like I'm gonna be the baddest motherfucker walking it.
All right, empty gym, the way we like it. It's Sunday, just finished my warm-up. This pain ought to be fun.
Focus!
I work out twice before everyone wakes up.
All right, workout number two. I'm out working all my competition. All right, Saturday afternoon, empty gym, the way we like it. It's leg day, which means it's gonna be sweaty, painful, and fun.
A closed-mindedness that amounts to an imprisonment so total that the prisoner doesn't even know he's locked up.
The most powerful tool that you have right now in your life, in your body, is your mind. Give me a new perspective. Give me a new way of looking at my situation. Give me a new way of looking at my circumstances. Get my mind ready for this year.
You can't please everybody, but there are people who have the fear of rocking the boat.
Oh yes, it's gonna be some struggles. It's gonna be some challenges. It's gonna be some tests. But even the struggles are an opportunity for me to show off the victory if my mind can handle the change.
The life is too short for that. Too short and unpredictable, moseying through. Not trying to disturb anything, not trying to shake anything up, not trying to make any waves.
I'm as young as I'm ever going to be. I can't get any younger. I can't roll the clock back. You are wasting time. You have to let the past go and step over into the future.
When you set goals, when you have an intention on something that you want to change about your life, your brain helps you. What it does is it opens up a checklist, and then your brain goes to work trying to remind you. It was cold, it was winter in Boston, and for the first time in 3 months, I had beaten my habit of hitting the snooze button. And it's really important to develop the skill.
Before you are boxed and buried, decide that you're gonna box and bury your fears. Decide that you're going to begin to live life on a new level, seeking out new horizons, that you're going to find more love and more joy and more ways to give.
I wanted to change my life. And I think most people that are miserable or that are really like dying to be great and dying to have more, we want to change. We want to live a better life. We want to create more for our families. We want to be happier. The desire is there. Again, it's about how do you go from knowledge to action. So the first thing in this story that's important is realizing that the answer was in me. And my mind was telling me, pay attention.
So when you begin to say, what is it that I want to leave? What contribution that I want to begin to make? What difference do I want to make in life? What is it that I want to do with the rest of the life that I have left? What chances I need to take? What risks do I need to begin to embrace? What fears do I need to step on? What areas of my life am I dead right now? What dream? You can either live your dreams or live your fears. You have got to get to a point where you say, I'm sick and tired of living like this. There's got to be more. That's when people go out and strike out on their dreams. How are you going to make it? I don't know, but I will. I'm going to keep on kicking. I'm going to conquer my fears. I'm never going to give up.
Huh? You think it's a game? This is real. This is real life, champ. Work hard, you get what you got to get. You don't work hard, you get nada. You get nothing. You gotta work hard. Work hard. You work hard, you get what you gotta get. You don't work hard, you don't get nothing. You don't get nothing. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Zero. Nothing. Keep working. Work hard, you get what you gotta get. I'm a ride. I'm going to fight. I'm going to work. I'm going to press toward. I'm going to learn. I'm going to do everything in my power. Every single day, I'm going to do everything in my power to become a victor and not a victim.
Let's go, champ. Let's go, champ.
Pain is temporary. It may last for a minute or an hour or a day or even a year. But eventually, it will subside. And something else will take its place. If I quit, however, it will last forever.
You want to get better? You want to self-improve? Stop looking for a shortcut and go find your alarm clock and find your discipline. And find your guts and your passion and your drive and find your will. And then you will find your freedom. If you're afraid of heights, work on some rock climbing. If you're afraid of the water, it's time to swim. It's time to surf. It's time to get out there. If you're afraid of pull-ups, if you're afraid of pull-ups, do pull-ups. If you're in squats, do squats. If you're afraid of public speaking, go speak in public. If you're afraid to start a business, start a business. And eventually, you will overcome that fear. But the hard part is, you gotta take that first step.
Yeah.
You gotta take that first step. Gotta take that first step against the fear of the thing.
If you died today, what dreams, what ideas, what books, what leadership, what voice, what story? Will die with you.
of the dreams, the ideas, the abilities, the talents given to you by life, but you, for whatever reason, you never pursued those dreams. You never used those talents. You never used those gifts. You never used those abilities. And there they are standing around your bed looking at you with large angry eyes saying, we came to you. Only you could have given us life. And now we must die with you forever. And the question is, if you died today, what dreams, what ideas, what books, what leadership, what voice, what story will die with you?
I said, empty your mind. Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.
Let's suppose that you were able every night to dream any dream you wanted to dream. And that you could, for example, have the power within one night to dream 75 years of time, or any length of time you wanted to have. And you would naturally, as you began on this adventure of dreams, you would fulfill all your wishes. You would have every kind of pleasure you could conceive. And after several nights of 75 years of total pleasure each, you would say, well, that was pretty great. Let's have a dream which isn't under control. Well, something is going to happen to me that I don't know what it's going to be. And you would dig that and come out of that and say, wow, that was a close shave, wasn't it? And then you would get more and more adventurous, and you would make further and further out gambles as to what you would dream. Finally, you would dream where you are now. You would dream the dream of living the life that you are actually living today. That would be within the infinite multiplicity of choices you would have.
We're here on chance, and we're going to go away.
The nature of love is self-abandonment, not clinging to oneself, throwing yourself out. That keeps things moving. That's the nature of life. So in this idea then, everybody is fundamentally the ultimate reality, not God in a politically kingly sense, but God in the sense of being the self, the deep down basic whatever there is. And you're all that, only you're pretending you're not. You would dream the dream of living the life that you are actually living today.
People want to know how to stop the laziness, and they want to know how to stop the procrastination. And, you know, they have some idea in their head, you know, some kind of a vision of what they want to do. But they don't know where to start. They don't know where to start it. You know, they don't know where to start. And so they say, hey, where do I start? And when's the best time to start? And I have a very simple answer for that. Here and now. That's it. You want to improve? You want to get better? you want to get on a workout program or a clean diet, you want to start a business, you want to write a book or make a movie or build a house or a computer or put together some mobile application, where do you start? You start right here. And when do you start? You start right now.
I had beaten my habit of hitting the snooze button. I couldn't believe it, and I thought, wait a minute. Counting backwards? That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Well, the next morning I used it again, and it worked. The next morning I used it again, and it worked. The next morning I used it again, and it worked. And then I started to notice something really interesting. There were moments all day long, just like that 5-second moment in bed, where I knew, knowledge, what I should do. And if I didn't move within 5 seconds, my brain would step in and talk me out of it. Every human being has a 5-second window, might even be shorter for you. You have about a 5-second window in which you can move from idea to action before your brain kicks into full gear and sabotages any change in behavior. Because remember, your brain is wired to stop you from doing things that are uncomfortable or uncertain or scary. It's your job to learn how to move from those ideas that could change everything into acting on them.
Look for the job that you would take if you didn't need a job. Don't sleepwalk through life, and don't say it's all going to be great. You know, I'll do this and I'll do that, and you know, I'm just marking time to get to be older. You really want to be doing what you love doing, and you can't necessarily find it on your first job.
Given all the opportunities that are there in the world, to try and figure out the thing that actually makes you want to get up in the morning, the thing that you actually love. I feel this thing that should exist, and you take that leap of faith that it may work. I would still go home from whatever that day job is, and I would try to do it because I love it, not because I really want to make a certain amount of money. Figure out the thing that makes you tick. Find that thing. That young people feel like if they don't know what they're born to do, that they're somehow broken. And I think that it needs to be looked at differently, which is that it means if you don't know that thing, it means that every door is the possibility. And if you can find that thing and deal with the pressure of maybe not making the amount of money that you would like to yet, or not getting to the company you'd like to yet, or not having success with your startup yet, these are all things that I think you can swallow if the thing you're doing speaks to you.
It's that constant pursuit of the unobtainable, which is kind of magic, really.
To approach something with a kind of excitement that is shared in this weird way where you just know it makes you happy. People say, I'm working on this thing, but I don't know if anyone's gonna like it. It feels sort of like this boring thing that I love, you know, and it's amazing how often that boring thing that you love becomes a sensation. I think the key is to do that. I would say, don't stress yourself out. Your voice is as important as anyone else's. So it's a lot easier to actually write a screenplay than you think it is. It might not be good, but most people talk about writing screenplays but don't actually write them. The people who write them, you're already like in, you know, the top 10% because you actually have written it.
I have the saying, work like someone's trying to take it all away from you. You know, work, mm-hmm. actually work mm-hmm. like someone's spending 24 hours, working 24 hours to take it all away from you. Mm-hmm. Right?
And when sometimes people don't have the determination, the will,
and the steadfastness, the tenacity. They give in under the slightest struggle.
I really viewed myself as particularly talented. I viewed myself as, you know, slightly above average in talent. And where I excel is ridiculous, sickening work ethic. You know, while the other guy's sleeping, I'm working. While the other guy's eating, I'm working.
You know, hard work pays. I put in a hell of a lot of work. Hard work pays, and I'm sitting at the top. I put it all on the line. I show up, I perform, and I get the results from that.
And discipline, doing what you hate to do, but do it like you love it. You know, always testing yourself and forcing yourself to the limits.
You have to have some ability, but then it's just how much will. I really do think there's just a thing people underestimate. It doesn't sound sexy. It doesn't sound cool.
How much do you want it?
Work ethic, you know, and just how badly do you want it?
That's what success in general is all about, sacrifice, from my experience.
Every damn person who said I wouldn't be anything, I'm crushing them every day.
Time slows down for no man. So the question is, how much time you gonna waste?
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're going through. I'm not here to pretend that, you know, I understand what you're going through or how you feel in your life. I think the biggest disability that we have as human beings is unbelief. Everything starts with a vision, and a man without vision dies. Hate the idea of potential being wasted in this world. You know how it is. If you didn't go what you've gone through, you wouldn't be who you are today.
As I kept trying new things, new doors kept opening. Because you don't know what your future is. You just don't. You never know what's gonna happen. You never know what your future holds for you. Go for it, try it, because another thing, I am no different than anyone else out there. I am not here to say I have a superpower and it was all this. It was just try it, go. Let's see what happens.
Patience, let's say. Don't complain when you're waiting in a line. You ain't going to grow in patience until you're put in a place to wait. There are some times where you're going to wish that you could rewind and do things all over again. There are times where you just wish you could forget memories and you try to drown those memories in alcohol or different pleasures and maybe get distracted by the goals and ambitions of your life and try to put the past behind and move forward.
You should wake up worried, terrified every morning, but don't be worried about our competitors because they're never going to send us any money anyway. Let's be worried about our customers and stay heads down focused.
One of my jobs as the leader of Amazon is to encourage people to be bold. And people love to focus on things that aren't yet working. And that's good, it's human nature. That kind of divine discontent can be very helpful. But it's incredibly hard to get people to take bold bets. And you need to encourage that. And if you're gonna take bold bets, they're going to be experiments. And if they're experiments, you don't know ahead of time whether they're going to work. Experiments are, by their very nature, prone to failure. But big successes, a few big successes, compensate for dozens and dozens of things that didn't work. I've made billions of dollars of failures at Amazon.com. Literally, billions of dollars of failures.
Because we know from our past experiences that big things start small. The biggest oak starts from an acorn, and you've got to recognize, if you want to do anything new, you've got to be willing to let that acorn grow into a little sapling and then finally into a small tree, and maybe one day it'll be a big business on its own.
Amazon started as a very small company. It was me and a few other people. I was driving all the packages to the post office myself in my 1987 Chevy Blazer.
You can't skip steps. You have to put one foot in front of the other. Things take time. There are no shortcuts, but you want to do those steps with, you know, passion and ferocity.
It's easy to have ideas. It's very hard to turn an idea into a successful product. There are a lot of steps in between, and it takes persistence, relentlessness.
Is the stress primarily comes from not taking action over something that you can have some control over. Do something you're very passionate about. I wanted to project myself forward to age 80 and say, okay, now I'm looking back on my life. I want to have minimized the number of regrets I have. And you know, I knew that when I was 80, I was not going to regret having tried this. I was not going to regret having wanted, you know, trying to participate in this thing called the internet that I thought was going to be a really big deal. I knew that if I failed, I wouldn't regret that.